right, hey, first time on the show, Conrad Van Order, WJOX, producer for Three Man Front. I love Three Man Front. It's outstanding. And host of Morning Jocks. Conrad, thank you so much for taking the time and joining the show.
Absolutely, Mike. It's funny to be on the opposite end of things. So you've been generous, and we've had some great times on Jocks with you, and so I'm happy to return the favor now.
Oh, and I have a quick question for you. I didn't even think to ask this before, but are you responsible for, you know, clipping up some of the things I say on Three Man Front and tweeting them out and getting me into so much trouble?
I used to be. So I believe when you came on and made some comments about Hugh Freeze, I think that was about a year ago, right? Maybe something like last summer.
Yeah.
That one was me, but now we have a wonderful, another producer in Molly Robinson who takes care of that. So you can blame her for anything now moving forward. That is all her. It's not me. I've done you dirty enough already.
Okay. Good to know. All right. First question. Any truth to the rumors that the SEC is expanding the college football playoff so that Kalen DeBoer can finally make one at Alabama?
All right, we're starting off hot here. No, I don't think that is. I don't think that would be the reason why. It is kind of funny though with the college football playoff talks that we've had and hearing about some of the different proposals and things. You just look back on this year and you're like, man, if you had a 16-team playoff for the SEC this year, you might have had five or six teams being in Alabama. Certainly would have been one of those, but no, I don't think they're been in the need of Texas right now. They don't have time for Alabama anymore.
Yeah, and I know, so let's, in case my audience doesn't know, you're an Alabama guy, you went to Alabama. I know you've been to, you traveled to some of the games last year. I was going to ask you about that, but even being an Alabama supporter, do you think they should have made the playoff last year?
I think from the standpoint of, do I think that Alabama was a better team or would have been a more competitive option than an SMU or an Indiana per se, in terms of, and not getting into the conference champions with the automatic buys, because that is what it is. But, you know, I think in those cases, yes, I certainly do. But I also look at it as when you lose three games, you lose the way you did to Oklahoma, you lose to a Vanderbilt team, you know, we'll give you the Tennessee win because, you know, obviously they were a playoff team last year. So you're not going to knock them too much for that. But no, I mean, I think from a competitive standpoint, yes, they would have been a better fit than some of the teams that got in. But I don't think they were necessarily deserving based on the resume that they put together through the regular season.
Mm-hmm. And I know you went to the Oklahoma game, right? Was that your first trip to Norman? How did you like that?
Not going back ever. but no, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, I thought the campus was great. It was a really cool experience, obviously, their first year here in the SEC and getting to go and just kind of mingle with some Oklahoma fans, see what they thought about the SEC, got into some arguments about how Tua should have beaten Kyler Murray for the Heisman a handful of years ago. But no, I mean, it was a cool experience. The game was obviously horrible. Hopefully that's not going to be a repeat when they come to Tuscaloosa this fall. But It was rough, man, to watch Alabama's playoff hopes essentially crumble before my very eyes. It was not great, but the Oklahoma fans were certainly enjoying my company.
Yeah, and I swear, Conrad, I'm not trying to twist the knife or anything here, but I mean, this is just you are now feeling life as the rest of the SEC. I mean, I'm a Tennessee guy.
No doubt.
Every time I go on the road to a game, it's like, well, if we win, we're probably going to win by a small margin. And then the other alternative is to get embarrassed like they did against Ohio State. But that's every time they go on the road. Meanwhile, Alabama, for the better part of two decades, it was like, how many are we going to win by was the biggest question. Do you think Alabama's been humbled a little bit, or is it just a blip because it was a 1 year and obviously you know, the first year without the greatest college coach of all time?
You know, I hope they got humbled. I'll look at it that way. I hope that they looked at last year and realized that, you know, things aren't going to be the same anymore. And I think, you know, as we get further into this new age with, you know, NIL, transfer portal, all that stuff being as prevalent as it is, I think that's going to become more apparent for teams. I mean, even look at, you know, a team like Georgia that started to look vulnerable for the first time in a couple of years this past year. I just think this is the new world that we live in where, you know, your Diego Pavias are going to pop up and take everybody by surprise. And, you know, I think that's a real challenge for Alabama moving forward is having to understand that, you know, you can no longer just roll the ball out there on any given Saturday and expect to win. And especially from a depth standpoint, that's where these big programs have been hit so hard here in this new era. I just, you know, I think for Alabama, it was a little bit of a, you know, you're falling to reality, right? This is, like you were saying, this is what 99.9% of the other fan bases in college football have been dealing with for their entire existence. And now, you know, for Alabama, it's about how are you going to respond to that? And I think that's a big question now for Kalen DeBoer and his staff in 2025, because I mean, I'll tell you this, you know, you can go 9-4 in your first year. People will, you know, can chalk it up to, you know, the transition from Nick Saban, but if that's what you're going to get in 2025 as well, you're going to start having some serious conversations. And, you know, I just look at the talent that you have on this roster. I'm sorry. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to win 10 games.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys at Jocks, there's no one better with the pulse of the Alabama fans, the Auburn fans, but specifically Alabama fans, of course. How are they taking to Kalen DeBoer going viral yesterday? We got to get a balanced playing field for Alabama. I mean, are they excited about these comments? I mean, because to me it reads as like he's complaining that it's not so easy anymore for Alabama. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, from the fan base standpoint, I definitely don't think it went over particularly well. I will tell you this: my takeaway from that comment, Mike, was essentially, you know, this is something you could have gotten away with at Washington, but you know, you're the head coach at Alabama now. That stuff's not going to fly. And I understand, you know, when he was at Fresno State, when he was the OC at Indiana, when he was the head coach at Washington, even, and made a national championship, you get away with those comments, right? People are going to understand where you're coming from. They're going to feel bad, especially, you know, at a Fresno State, right? When you're the head coach, people are going to go, yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. I sympathize with that. Nobody is going to give you sympathy in that regard, really, for anything at Alabama, right? And so I thought, you know, the little jab you took about the Dodge Chargers, you know, I thought that was honestly, like, that's pretty on point. That's the reality of, you know, it's fun to sit here and act like for 17 years, every player that signed a scholarship to Alabama went because of how great Nick Saban was. And that was a big part of it. And they benefited from that mightily. But can we not act like they weren't, you know, paying players that way, you know, giving them car deals, different things? You know, it was happening everywhere. But to act like that wasn't a thing and now it is for Alabama, I think is asinine. And I think, you know, for Kalen DeBoer, in my opinion, I would have told him probably not to make those kinds of comments, because it's not going to respond well with the media, certainly, but not even within your own fan base, because you are Alabama. You had, you know, to some people's records, you know, and based on different measurements, you know, the most talented roster in college football last year, and yet you lose to Vanderbilt and you get blown out by a very average at best Oklahoma team at times. So, no, I think those comments are going to fall on a lot of deaf ears, to be honest with you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is it's way too early. We won't hold this against you or anything like that. We haven't even had a spring practice yet. But the most popular debate I see with Alabama fans right now online is, you know, who's going to be the starting quarterback. This will change based on spring, based on summer. But if you had to guess right now, Conrad, who do you think will be the starting quarterback for Alabama when they take the field against Florida State?
Yeah, and I think that's an important distinction to make when we talk about this, because I think if you're talking about who might be the starting quarterback for Alabama in November as opposed to who it might be week one against FSU, I think that's where maybe there's a little bit of a different answer. You can have a more interesting conversation, because I do think going into week one, and I know, look, it's a Florida State team that was horrible last year. We all made plenty of jokes about it, but they still have a lot of talent on that roster, and they're going to be better, right? There's no way they can be worse than they were last year. And I just think when you have a guy like Ty Simpson, he's been in the system, he's been around Alabama for a number of years, he's had multiple opportunities to leave. I'm not saying, you know, you name a guy starting quarterback because he's been loyal, that's great. But, you know, I think he's had a lot of time to learn. And I think that, you know, my standpoint on the quarterback is, if it's Ty Simpson, I don't think Ty Simpson needs to be a Heisman Trophy finalist in order for Alabama to make the playoff and potentially be a contender for a national title. I think he needs to be a top 25 quarterback in college football. And I think that's reasonable for a guy that was highly recruited and has been around the system and should have good chemistry with the receivers. But I think when you're looking at week one, it has to be Ty Simpson's job to lose. He's the experienced guy. He's had time to build the chemistry. Now he has a year under Kalen DeBoer. I know Ryan Grubb's going to be new to him, but I do think that you look at Ty Simpson for week one as he should be. It's his job to lose, I guess. Let me put it that way, to start the season. But obviously, when you have a guy like Keelon Russell who comes in and was the number two quarterback behind Bryce Underwood and has been getting rave comparisons to, you know, Michael Penix and what he was able to do at Washington with DeBoer, I think that maybe is something that is something we're talking about throughout the course of the season, because, you know, you want guys in this day and age You're paying a lot of money too out of high school. They're highly recruited. You don't want them jumping in the portal. You want them to have the opportunity to play on the field if they give you the best chance to win. And I think, you know, we'll learn a lot here in spring practice, but I think that's going to be an interesting conversation throughout the season, but certainly to start off, I would put my money on Ty Simpson.
Yeah, and you mentioned offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. Of course, last year he wasn't on the staff. He was in the NFL. Now he's back. Who knows how things would have played out differently had he stayed on and been on DeBoer's first staff there at Alabama, well, first year at Alabama. How much is that changing the narrative with Alabama fans that now that we got Ryan Grubb, we can kind of get back to that dynamic offense we saw at Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I think it inspires a lot of confidence, right? And I think it was a situation where, you know, you had a guy this year, Nick Sheridan, had never been an offensive coordinator before. I mean, talk about getting, you know, tossed to the fire, right? You know, your first year as an offensive coordinator is at Alabama, and beyond that, you're replacing the greatest college football coach of all time and Nick Saban. So, you know, I think Ryan Grubb coming over here, and, you know, the kind of joke has been third time's the charm, right? Because Nick Saban tried to hire him for his last year, ended up with Tommy Rees. He then technically he did work for Alabama last year for, I think, 2 weeks before he went to the NFL. So now maybe this year, it being his third attempt at getting him in Tuscaloosa, it's going to pay off and dividends. But I think from a morale standpoint for the fan base, right, this was an easy win. It's a guy with a great pedigree. Everywhere that Kalen DeBoer's had success, Ryan Grubb has been there right beside him. And I think at times last year, you did have a lot of concerns about the offense. Now, I don't think if you're looking to go back to the ground and pound days of running the football, that Ryan Grubb's necessarily going to be your guy. I don't think that's going to be the identity that Alabama's going to have moving forward. But, you know, for an offense that, you know, you had your highs of times of the first half of the Georgia game, LSU, you look great, right? And then you go and, you know, you go back to that Oklahoma game we've already talked about. You score 3 points against a not a great Oklahoma team. Like, that's unacceptable. And so I think the hope with Ryan Grubb and you pairing that with a guy like Ty Simpson, who you just need to be more consistent in the passing game, right? And that's where Jalen Milroe's biggest issues were. He made a lot of bad decisions. He wasn't consistent. Where he was great with the deep ball, you know, 2 years ago, he wasn't very good this past year, at least as good as he was in the past. And I think, you know, you're just looking for more consistency. And I think you're going to get that in a guy like Ryan Grubb and somebody that's more familiar with Kalen DeBoer, and you're not trying to have to, you know, essentially coach up the offensive coordinator on how to do his job over the course of the season because he's a rookie. You have a more experienced guy. I think it was an easy win for the fan base, and I think rightfully so, the expectations are now a little higher for that offense in 2025.
How confident are you that Kalen DeBoer wins at least one national championship at Alabama? Because I would imagine if I asked you that a year ago, Conrad, you would have said, well, that's probably a slam dunk given everything about Alabama and what we know about DeBoer. But I don't know. I think that's a little bit shakier. Not saying that he can't do it. He'll have all the resources and the roster and everything. And he is a really good coach, but is he a right fit? Who knows how long he'll stay there? What's your confidence that he gets at least one national championship?
You know, I would love to answer this question, Mike, in a year. I think it would be a lot easier to answer in a year. I will say right now, you know, if we were to go, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, right? All right, if we're on a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably be somewhere around a 5 or a 6 in terms of my confidence level that he can win a national championship. I think the big takeaway when he was hired for a lot of people, especially Alabama fans, was this guy just took a Washington team full of 3- and 4-star dudes to a national championship game. Granted, he lost, but he still got to a national championship game. Now that he has all the resources you get at Alabama, you're going to have more talent on the roster. Why wouldn't he be able to replicate that? Maybe not in year one, but in the first couple of years. I do think based on how good Keelon Russell is, you might have a window here in the next 2 or 3 years. If he really is as advertised, there's no reason for me to think that Alabama shouldn't be in contention for a national championship. But I think you also look at, you know, Georgia's still really good. I know there might be some questions about Gunnar Stockton and kind of what his ceiling is for Georgia at quarterback as well. But you look at Texas and how they look like a program that is built to last here in the SEC. They're not going to, you know, kind of flame out after their first playoff appearance and now back-to-back playoff appearances. You know, I think you look at, you know, even a school like Auburn, right, who has had, let's be honest, a really bad 5-year stretch. You know, what happens if Jackson Arnold and some of those guys start to hit at Auburn and Deuce Knight, their own highly touted recruit from this past cycle? You have to look around the conference. I think Tennessee you know, with Nico, I really like Tennessee this upcoming year. If Nico is able to make that next step, I think they're kind of an underrated team to win a national championship this coming year. So the competition for Alabama is just going to be so great here in the near future that, you know, I think it's a fool's errand for me to come on here, even being an Alabama fan and an alum, to say, oh, yeah, without a doubt, Kalen DeBoer is going to win a national championship. I still think it was a good hire. I still have faith in Kalen DeBoer. I still think that the program is in good hands for right now. Again, would love to answer this question for you a year from now. But yeah, I would have to go at a 5 or 6 just because the SEC is a great conference, as we all know. And based on what we saw this year at Alabama, there's certainly some things that need to be turned around and corrected before I'm ready to sit here and seriously tell you they should be viewed as a national championship favorite.
I'm glad you brought up Auburn, Conrad, because I do want to ask you one Auburn question. What do you think is more likely? Hugh Freeze gets fired for losing games, which, you know, he's had two losing seasons thus far. Mm-hmm. So I think he's firmly on the hot seat. Or more likely, Hugh Freeze gets fired because of a scandal.
See, I was expecting you to go, is it more likely Hugh Freeze gets fired or more likely Hugh Freeze, you know, makes the college football playoff this year or something along those lines? You know, I guess I'm going to go with losing games. It seems like, you know, Pastor Freeze seems to have changed, you know, a little bit, and just kind of the way that he's operated things at Auburn. You know, we haven't had any reason to believe that that's going to crop up again. So, I would have to go the losing games route because, again, you know, everything I just said when I brought him up talking about Alabama, you know, I think they are a high upside team this upcoming year. I think, you know, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic if you are an Auburn fan. However, I think it's also fair to note that while a lot of people want to put all this blame on Peyton Thorne the last couple of years, let's be honest, I think the play calling is equally to blame. And especially last year, when you had the first year with Philip Montgomery as the OC, you make that change. Hugh Freeze says, I'm going to start calling the plays. And that's, you know, why'd you hire him, right? He's an offensive coach. You hired him for his offensive mind. And then we saw what happened last year. And there were just so many times where, you know, you have a guy in Jarquez Hunter who is such an electric player. He was your best weapon, in my opinion, on the offensive side of the ball. And you just refuse to give him the football at times. It doesn't make sense. There are times where you know the limitations you have at quarterback and you're calling shots down the field. And it just doesn't make sense. You don't seem to be playing to the strengths of the talent you had on the roster there. And, you know, as highly touted as Jackson Arnold was coming out of high school, and I think that the Oklahoma situation last year, you know, didn't do him any favors. You know, let's not act like this is, you know, some, you know, this isn't Auburn landing, you know, somebody with the pedigree of a Carson Beck, right? Or even a Mateer, the guy who's now replacing Arnold at Oklahoma. I think there's a lot of question marks around him as well. And so, you know, I definitely think it would be more likely that you see Hugh Freeze getting fired because he goes, you know, 6-6 this year or 7-5, you know, from a lot of the Auburn fans that we hear from. You know, the floor for them seems to be 8 wins, right? If you're not getting to 8 wins, what are you doing here? It's time for us to move on as a program. So, you know, he has a lot of pressure on him this year, and I think it's just as likely, to be honest with you, that you see Auburn overachieve and maybe win 9 games this year. I think it's just as likely that they go and win 5 or 6 games again, and we're looking at a new coach in Auburn next year.
Yeah, well, you may have just answered the question then. I was going to ask, you know, which coach is under more pressure, and I don't necessarily mean getting fired because of Kalen DeBoer and his massive buyout. I mean, it's incredible, but replacing a legend – again, winning season year one, but very, very disappointing in a lot of regards. Or Hugh Freeze, who everything you just said, I mean, I think expectations should be high. And if they don't meet those expectations, I think he's run out of excuses. I think he's run out of people to throw under the bus. Both those coaches facing a lot of pressure. Which one do you think is facing more pressure in 2025?
Yeah, so I think kind of like you were saying, I mean, in terms of, you know, barring Alabama going 3-9 or something, which, I mean, that would be – it'd be great for business for a lot of people, right? You know, a lot of people would probably be pretty happy about that. But barring some sort of utter disaster like that, I don't think there's a route for Kalen DeBoer to get fired after this second season in Tuscaloosa. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be conversations. Doesn't mean the hot seat won't be scorching going into year three. But I do think that Hugh Freeze is in that situation, right? Like I was saying, I think there's a number in a lot of people's heads. And if it's not Auburn showing progress, then they're going to be ready to move on. And they're going to find a way to make sure they can pay that buyout and go bring in somebody that they think can make Auburn more competitive in the near future. So I do think from a pressure standpoint, in terms of who is more likely to be fired this year, I absolutely think that's Hugh Freeze. However, I think you can make a strong argument, and I might even lean Kalen DeBoer if you just asked who has more pressure on them right now, because we know how rabid and how, you know, how the Alabama fan base works, right? And so, again, if you're Kalen DeBoer, there's a lot of teams out there that would kill to go 9-3. But if you go 9-3 again, that's going to piss a lot of people off in Tuscaloosa, and there's going to be a lot of people that are ready for him to pack his bags and leave, even if that's not realistic from a financial standpoint. So I think more realistic Hugh Freeze gets fired, but I think you could argue that Kalen DeBoer has more pressure just because there is that expectation of making the playoff. Whereas if Auburn, you know, if you win 8 games, whether that's 7-5 in a bowl game or 8-4 in a bowl, you know, maybe you get to 9 with a bowl win, I think that's going to make people a lot of happy. But, you know, Alabama fans aren't going to be happy unless you're in the playoff and you're winning at least 1 or 2 games, I think.
Right. Well, we already hit on the quarterback, so let's take them off the table. But entering spring practice, what is the biggest question that you have for Alabama's football team?
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting question. I think for me personally, outside of quarterback, I think you're pretty good on the offensive side of the ball. So I would probably go somewhere defensively. I think in the secondary, you're pretty well set. You got a lot of guys coming back. You had a lot of young guys last year who got a lot of experience and showed a lot of promise. I think you could look at the linebackers with Jahad Campbell leaving, Deontay Lawson coming back from injury, Justin Jefferson, a guy who got the waiver from the NCAA, so he's going to get another year of eligibility. So you have a little bit more experience there, but you got a guy coming off injury and a guy that's going to be starting for the first time. So that might be a little bit of concern there in the middle of that defense. But I look at the defensive line because we know how important trench play is here in the SEC. And I think you have some guys for Alabama. You know, I look at a guy like LT Overton. LT Overton last year was so good at breaking through and causing havoc for opposing quarterbacks and then not finishing a play, right? He was really, really good at getting his hands up, causing some disruption, but for whatever reason, he just wasn't turning those into sacks or turning those into, you know, fumbles, turnover-worthy plays, things like that. I look at a guy like Tim Keenan, again, who has a lot of experience. These guys who are, you know, I would say they're very solid defensive linemen, right? But you need that elite player, I think, if you're Alabama. You need somebody that can be more of a presence, getting after the quarterback, tallying up those sacks. You don't have a Will Anderson anymore. You don't have a guy like that coming off the edge. So who is it that's going to be able to step up for Alabama and kind of find that role? Because that's something that they needed at times last year. And I think if you want to talk about Alabama as a team that's going to bounce back this year and be in the playoffs, that's going to be something that has to be addressed.
All right, Conrad, last thing for you. Really appreciate your time. It's off season for football, so we're recycling old topics because this is seemingly the one that will never go away. We've been talking about it for like 4 or 5 years. The SEC and a potential 9-game schedule. I think it's closer to reality than it's ever been before. Let's assume the SEC goes to 9 annual conference games, and let's assume that they do the 3 permanent and then the 6 rotating, which again, this is all up in the air. This not for sure going to happen, but I think that's the way it's trending. If that's the way they do it, Alabama, who are the 3 teams that Alabama would play annually if Conrad was making those selections?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I think you have 2 easy ones. I think Auburn, I mean, come on, it's going to be Auburn. You have to have that game. I would also throw Tennessee in there. That's a great rivalry, a historic rivalry, and now I know much to your enjoyment. It's a competitive rivalry, right? Like, we actually get to enjoy those games. You're not going in every year like, all right, yeah. I have to ask, in that 17-year span with Nick Saban there, how many years did you actually buy a cigar going into that game expecting to be able to
smoke? None. Never. I think the 1 year, this is so dumb, but I remember like what it was 2016 when Tennessee was actually decent. And I remember I was like walking, I went for a walk before the games, you know, cause I get nervous and the wind blows and the leaves were hitting me. And I was like, that's a sign from God. Like, I think Tennessee, this is the year. And then of course they lost by like 45 points, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, and that's my point, right? Is now, you know, you're going into the game every year, you're buying that cigar and you're like 50-50 chance I'm going to be able to smoke it. Right. And so I think now with that being such an important rivalry to the history of both programs and it being more competitive now, you definitely want that one in there. So I'd go Auburn, Tennessee. And then the third one, I mean, for me, it would be between LSU and Georgia. I think from a Let me put it like this. From a tradition standpoint and a matchup that we're used to seeing every year, I think you can't go wrong with LSU and having a game in Death Valley every other year. You know, those night games are so great, such a credible atmosphere. You can't go wrong there. But if I'm being selfish, I think a lot of college football fans, even if you don't like the programs, I think we can all agree that Alabama-Georgia is good for the sport. It's good entertainment. So, that would be my third one. I would go Auburn, Tennessee, and then Georgia. Those would be my three permanent opponents that I would want Alabama to have.
And again, I swear I'm not trying to twist the knife, but we considered Alabama-Oklahoma too. Not because Oklahoma beat them, but just, I mean, we're talking two of the best programs ever. You know, a Crimson Bowl. I mean, that, and we were struggling to come up with a third one for Oklahoma. So we considered that as well. But there's really not a wrong answer. Just more SEC football is going to get us all excited. You know what?
Can I say Vanderbilt?
Yeah, of course. All right, Conrad, before you go, tell my audience, how can they follow you? How can they find your work?
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having me on, Mike. It's been a lot of fun. Glad I could return the favor. Hope this isn't the only time you ask me on. But no, you can find me. I'm on Twitter at Conrad VO Radio. You can also go. I'm on, like you said at the beginning, I co-host Morning Jocks from 6 to 7 a.m. on Jocks 94.5 alongside Damian Mitchell. So you can listen to me there. And then you can also catch me from 10 to 2 weekdays on Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5 as well. So those are the ways. If a lot of Alabama fans aren't a big fan of me because I try to be as realistic as I can. I try not to go full Bammer and try to be professional about things. So there may not be a lot of people that are interested in me after some of the things I have to say, but that's where you can find me. And again, just appreciate you having me on, Mike.
Yeah, thank you so much, Conrad. I'll cut it right there.